I'd like us to consider together this evening the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verses 9 through 10, predominantly verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now these verses came upon my mind this week as we have this special day with the prize given for the Sunday school children. What a great encouragement it was this afternoon to see this building full of parents and children. I understand today that there were 50 children and there must have been 30 parents and teachers together, because there were over 80 here sitting. So while we don't boast in numbers, nevertheless we can use this simply as an encouragement of the Lord in such a day as this, as we seek to serve God in this day and generation. And we thank God for these tokens of encouragement, how much we need to give glory unto God for his goodness and encouragement toward us. Nevertheless, as the Lord increases this ministry, there are increased pressures. And this causes weariness at times. And it's at times like this that Satan will come along and say, well, you know, you just can't carry on like this. You can't continue. And we can become discouraged. But the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that evidently was in the same situation. They were in danger of growing weary while doing good. And the Apostle Paul is very concerned to encourage them kindly, pastorally, with a tenderness. Let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. And that is the key, isn't it? Not losing a heart for the work. Not losing a heart for the ministries of this church. Not losing the epicenter of these ministries. Seeing how important they are for this church and for this community. And to reach out in the gospel, with the gospel. Now, there is a prime opportunity and responsibility to do good to the household of faith. And so it's very important that we look after the well-being of the body, the church, the Lord's people, brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, friends, we must never forget that the prime responsibility at the beginning, at the outset, is to take care of the flock, take care of the church, to take be doing good to one another. That's especially important, but that's not everything. So often we can become very inward-looking as a church and only be concerned to build each other up and lose sight of the outside. We just keep looking on the inside. And it's very tempting in pressured times. It's very tempting in times such as this, when there's so much opposition, to become inward-looking and to close the ranks, as it were, and just focus upon ourselves. But Paul doesn't say, do good just to the household of faith. He said, let us do good to all. unto all means all. It means the children, the middle-aged, those bearing the heat and burden of the day, and the aged ones. So that is our call, that is our commission. Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. So all is our wider vision, our great, our full responsibility. But it has an order, it has a priority, and if we focus upon the well-being of the people of God, then that will indeed help us in our fruitfulness as we seek to serve the Lord. Well, I want just to encourage you this evening, just briefly, because we are laboring in very difficult days. The Christian Institute was speaking at yesterday, just for a few minutes, at a conference that we were at, and they were speaking just, for example, on one of the issues in society, which is becoming an increasing problem, the issue of abortion, where moves are taken to make it legal to abort almost up to the point of birth. This is so in America now. This representative told us that since the Abortion Act, over 9 million babies have been aborted. That's in our nation alone. That's not the world. That's in our nation. And then there's a transgender issue. If you will look in the on the in the lobby, in the leaflet rack, you will see some helpful information on an advice on the issue of transgenderism. And this is produced by the Christian Institute. And again, it will help you and help me as we just appraise ourselves of these particular issues, that we might understand the days, the times in which we live. So we labour in difficult days. We labour in days when teaching children is increasingly challenging. I was speaking to a person that was telling me that her child was at school, and a teacher who was teaching RE said, well, basically Christianity is this. It's really about doing the best you can. It's about doing good works. It's about doing, trying to be good people. Well, this young believer, she stood up, she put her hand up and said, it's not. That is not Christianity. And she attempted to share. And the teacher just shut her up and said, we don't want just interaction. Just listen to what I'm saying. And so there is a battle, a warfare going on. This particular message can be very applicable to those of us who are involved in the children's ministry, but not only those involved in the children's ministry. This is really a message for all the Lord's people engaged in the Christian service. You may be doing a good service with your neighbor. You may be doing a good service in your workplace. You may be doing a good service for the Lord in just helping one another, and as part of your testimony. So let us not grow weary while doing good. I want to give you four characteristics of Christian service described here as doing good. First of all, doing good glorifies God. Doing good glorifies God. And that has to be our prime purpose for doing good. It's not about feeling better about ourselves. We do have the answer of a good conscience, but it's actually primarily about glorifying God. It's about encouraging people to lift up their own hearts in adoration to praise God. And then secondly, doing good conforms to the word of God. We're being obedient to the word of God. And thirdly, doing good is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. It says clearly, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is goodness. Goodness. And fourthly, a fourth characteristic is that it is a work which should be motivated by love. And the Greek meaning of the word doing good, the phrase doing good, can actually be expressed as doing something beautiful for the Lord. Beautiful. It's, let us not grow weary while doing something beautiful. And if you try and think of doing good as something beautiful, because it glorifies God, it conforms to the word of God, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's an act of love. But then Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good. And so this reminds us that this is an ongoing work. It's a continuous exercise. Our lives are to be constantly focused on our commission, doing good. Now, there must have been a reason why Paul was inspired to write in such a manner. The church at Galatia evidently were already weary, or certainly in danger of becoming weary while doing good. They needed to be encouraged on the way in doing good. And weariness in doing good is undoubtedly a real problem that needs to be proactively addressed. And what are some of the reasons we grow weary while doing good? What are some of the reasons, dear friends, why we grow weary? Well, the first reason I would suggest to you is that if you are doing good for the glory of God, then you are directly opposed to Satan. And that means that you are on the front line of the battlefield. Whenever we do good for God's glory, we are placing ourselves in obedience to God, we are placing ourselves in confrontation with Satan. And Satan will attack us in every way possible to discourage us and grind us down. There are various strategies which Satan uses to further his evil ends of discouragement, to make us weary in doing good. First of all, let's take the ministry for the children. Opposition. There may be in your class periods of bad behavior, and you leave the lesson and you feel wretched and sad and discouraged, and you say, they can't have taken anything in. There were so many distractions, and you feel discouraged, and you've put a lot of work into the lesson. And Satan will say, well, what's the point? Whatever's the point? I was driving back home this afternoon, and you would think this is a very strange thing after such an afternoon of encouragement. And this thought came into me. Is this really a good work? This is really a good work. It's just like an arrow, a doubt. Yet whenever we're seeking to preach the gospel and reach out to the children with the word of God, and we trust for the glory of God, it is a good work. There's disappointments. Sometimes we have irregular attendance, and sometimes a child will just stop coming. When the message perhaps also, or when it seems the message is not getting through. And then another reason we grow weary while doing good is not just opposition and disappointments, but also lack of prayer. Now, one of Satan's tactics is to make us think we can prepare our lesson, and we can help in Sunday school, and we can be a helper, and we can be a teacher, and we've worked it out, and we don't really need to pray about it. We just need to make up a lesson a bit here and a bit there. And also he will encourage other members not involved directly in the work to say, well, that's nothing to do with me. I don't need to pray about this work. So while the afternoon is going on and the teachers are there teaching, Satan will be an expert in distracting your mind so you don't, what you don't do is pray for the prayer, the Sunday school as it's going on. You see, a church is made up of members and we each need each other. And while you may not be involved in all the activities of Sunday school, or perhaps not involved in it at all as such, that doesn't stop you praying for it. And Satan will encourage a lack of prayer. And what he wants you to do is go to your lesson without any prayer, or little or no prayer. And Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint, because Jesus knew that if we stop praying, we will faint. If we stop praying, we will get very weary. And the reason we get weary is our heart is not in it. And so what happens is we're not praying about the work, so we're not getting, we're not seeing the fruit, and when our heart is not really in it, and so it does become a chore, it does become a burden to us. And we wonder, is this all legalism? Is this just works? And the problem is our heart is not in it. Our heart is not in it. And that is where the problem is. And we need to pray. And Satan is an expert at persuading us not to put too much effort into the lesson, to present something rushed or half-baked, heart not really in the lesson. He knows that this is the most effective method of making us weary and dissatisfied with our service for the Lord. This happened to the church in the Old Testament. We read of it in the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 1:13, and the people were saying to God, that you say, oh, what a weariness. It's all become so weary. It's all become so weary. And you even sneer at it. You start despising it. What's the point? We're so small, we're so little, and the Lord says, well, you bring the lame and the sick as an offering. You don't bring the best. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? And so there is a great need for wholeheartedness, dear friends. And then another reason we grow weary is because we forget who we are serving. We lose focus. And we forget that we are privileged, that God has entrusted us in 2019, March 2019, to be an entrusted ambassador of Jesus. And we lose focus. We forget that we have been called by grace, we have been chosen by God to serve him in this day and generation, and we forget the significance of the call, and we see it as a duty rather than a privilege. And we forget to put on the whole armor of God, and we become exposed to the enemy. And then another reason is that we do not recognize the pastoral nature of our calling as we serve the Lord. It's so lovely to see in the old people's homes, in the care homes that we visit, the members that come with me, and they're much better at this than I am. They go round to each of those visiting in the service, and talk to them and say hello to them and ask how they are and have a word with them. That's the pastoral nature of your calling. You've been entrusted by Jesus to have a word with these people and in their children's word, to care for the children. What a responsibility that is bestowed upon us in this day and age where so many people are saying, don't bother with Sunday schools. They're old fashioned. And yet we're blessed with so many children. God's entrusting us with them. And that's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor. And we also underestimate the value of doing good. We are sharing with the children the very word of God. And we feel intimidated at times by the secular society, which is against Christian witness. And we get impatient sometimes about the timing of our fruitfulness. And Satan comes and whispers and says, why bother? Just go through the motions. Get the lesson over with. Why bother to put so much effort and to pray when nothing is happening? And then maybe you get weary with the ongoing nature of the commitment, and we see a situation when we're under so much pressure, and we are at this moment in time. We're under increasing pressure. The Lord is building a work, and there are so few. And it is hard. It can even be quite disturbing at times when we see how close to the line we are with coping. But the Lord never lets us down, friends. He never lets us down. He always brings us through. I've been here nearly 6 years now, and I've never known the Lord to let us down, whether it be Holiday Bible Club or whether it be Sunday School. And often we don't know, sometimes we're that stretched, and yet the Lord brings us through. He's such a faithful God. He's such a merciful God, and he never lets us down. So maybe you get weary, though, with the ongoing nature of the commitment of ministry, of service. And we live in a world that's in love with leisure and entertainment. When we think about it, friends, we often talk about how busy we are. And it's true, we are busy. When we look at our forefathers, my father used to work for 5.5 days a week, so Monday through Friday and half day Saturday. He would come home, and if he was traveling, preaching a long way away, he had to come home, have a wash and a shave, and Mum would give him lunch, and then he would go to the station and catch a train up north. He wouldn't be back till midnight the next on the Sunday night, and up for 6 o'clock in the morning to be at work again. And most people in that day and age worked 6 days a week. Most people, the only day off they had was Sunday. But now we work Monday through Friday generally. We all have generally Saturday and Sunday, as a weekend we call it. And I remember when I was a boy, my father only had 2 weeks holiday a year. That was maximum. And bank holidays. There was never this amazing Christmas break that you had. That came through the 3 day week. That's when that came in. When there was so much industrial disruption. And we became in love with it. So actually we have a lot more time really than we ever used to have. And yet when you think of what went on in those days and how busy the Sunday schools were and how much work was being done to reach out to the poor, it was the Christian churches, you know, who actually were the front runners in the ministry to the poor and the needy and the schools and the children. in the Sunday schools. And yet these people were so busy during the day. Everything was labor intensive and they were working sometimes in really difficult conditions. And yet on the Lord's day, they were there reaching out. You see, the unbeliever will spend a short while here on earth focusing upon leisure and entertainment. But then they will spend an eternity of laboring in hell. They will spend a short while here upon earth focusing upon leisure and entertainment, but without repentance, they will face an eternity of laboring in hell. A believer is called to spend a short time here upon earth laboring. If you look in the New Testament, all the endeavoring words that are used. But as we labor for the Lord, our Sabbath is in heaven. Our rest is in heaven. It's not here. It's in heaven. We will enjoy a constructive and active eternity of leisure in heaven. That's where our rest is. And sometimes we think horizontally. We look at the world on the Lord's day. And I've done this myself. And we are tempted to envy their leisure. Behold, the psalmist said, these are the ungodly. They're always at ease. And yet increase in riches. They don't seem to have a care in the world. We grow weary when we forget our calling and our high calling and whom we're serving and the benefit to our own souls of doing good. That's another thing we so easily forget, that when we serve the Lord, we're actually doing good to ourselves. We're doing good to our souls. In the book of Ruth, we read, Boaz said to Ruth, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Oh, Ruth, you're working, you're serving your mother, you're looking after her, you're caring for her, and it's a very difficult task at the moment because you're so poor. But you have a full reward given to you by the Lord God of Israel because you're trusting in him. You're believing in him. You've come under his wings for refuge. You're trusting in him. Oh, Ruth, don't forget the reward. So how is it that we can avoid growing weary while doing good? Well, I want to turn just to, before we come to conclusion, in Hebrews chapter 12, in these well-known words, I've quoted them before here, but it's so important, these words, because they're so helpful for us. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. This is another positive word in the New Testament for a Christian, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, lest you become weary and discouraged. So to avoid weariness in doing good, the word of God calls us to exercise faith. Remember, we are called to serve by faith, to have faith in God's character and in God's promise and in his timing and in his wisdom and in his reward of reaping. First of all, what a reward you have. You have the privilege, perhaps only one in your lifetime, but one has changed a life for eternity. The reward of seeing souls saved from hell. Do we want any greater reward than that? Than if we've been used by God to save a child, to save an old person, to save a middle-aged person, under God, through the gospel, to save a person from hell in Jesus Christ the Lord. But it has been our witness, it has been, the Lord has blessed our own testimony of the gospel to that person. What greater reward can we have? I remember when I first, period of time at our first church at Melksham, and I remember baptizing my first baptism, the first time I'd ever baptized a person. I remember coming out the pool and that sense of realizing that God had called me into the ministry, and there was a sense of peace and reward of seeing a soul saved and being used in some small way of God in the blessing for that soul. Now, I'd been, as you know, the chairman of a group of printing companies, and there was much there that could lift you up in pride and satisfaction, and there were many rewards in different ways. But there's nothing like the reward you have in the gospel. Nothing like the reward of change being instrumental in changing a person's life for eternity, not just for time. You have the answer of a good conscience in serving the Lord. And you have the reward of eternal life if you are saved and you serve. Because we're saved to serve. That's part of our calling. We're not just saved, we're saved to serve. And Paul says eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And another thing we need to remember, that when we serve God, we do it in God's sight. Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. God our Father. So when you're serving the Lord, remember God is looking. God is watching. God is with you. And there are some facts that we say in conclusion while doing good. Your work is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And remember, God blesses the patient servants, those who are willing to wait his time. You have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And you are ambassadors and servants of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And you're working for God's glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise you. No, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And remember God's promise this evening. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those that sow in tears, you will reap in joy. And there's much sowing in tears, isn't there? There are many challenges. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle. Don't be surprised, dear friends, if you're discouraged and you get disappointments and you get that little voice inside you telling you to give up. Why is this? Because you're involved in a good work. If you was involved in a work that had no gospel content in it, you wouldn't be getting that same voice. But because you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you are at war with Satan. And we're told to be careful to maintain good works, because these things are good and they are profitable. Well, as we have opportunity then, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.